Commentator Lee Stringer spent a decade on the streets of New York, but he's still learning that life's most uncomfortable moments can be its most important ones.
I was upstairs and having one of those days, way over deadline on a piece of writing I'd been commissioned to do, with no end in sight, when I get a call from my mother's home care aide. At 81, my mother is ever more infirm and needful of things from me, things I often fear I am unable or unprepared to give. "Come quickly," the aide says. We live in the same building, my mother and I, so it's just a dash down the stairs to get to her apartment. I find her writhing in her bed, gasping for breath, a by now familiar situation, brought on by chronic asthma. And one thing after another, nothing less than dialing 911 will do, even though her vital signs are always rock steady when we get there. 2 hours later, I'm squirming in an uncomfortable chair beside my mother, who's hooked up to a monitor and laid out on a gurney in a little room just off the main emergency room floor. Small talk not being a thing we have ever had between us, all I can think about is the 3 days it always takes me to make up for one lost day of writing. Then my mother sends me for a nurse. "I need a bedpan," she says. "Quick!" Panic rising, I manage to catch a nurse's eye. "Bedpan!" is all I can blurt as she rushes by. She points across the room to a walk-in storage closet, and I see them in there, stacked up like dessert bowls. When I look back, the nurse is gone, and my panic sours to screaming rage. Only I don't scream, because the anger is just a mask for a lot of other, less welcome emotions, like guilt and self-loathing. I know this because I found myself wrestling with the same unholy clash of feelings just a few days earlier. I was at the supermarket at the time and noticed a girl stooped over in the middle of aisle 9, her limbs convened at odd angles, struggling to act in unison but failing again and again, like a car refusing to click into gear. The thing was, I knew this girl. Knew of her, at least, and have always averted my eyes at the first sight of her, part out of not wanting to stare, but also out of a fear that she might require something of me I was neither ready nor willing to give. But it had been 12 hard, street-bitten years since I'd last laid eyes on her, out of which I've embraced the code that it's best to look life squarely in the eye. So I forced myself to look. A rope of drool hung from her mouth, inches away from a tortured piece of tissue balled in her fist, which her misfiring brain could not quite send up to dab away the goo. I stood there, frozen by the random cruelty of whatever it was she suffered from, until her mother appeared. I nodded a hello to her, wheeled my cart to the next aisle, and there, amidst the corn chips and pretzel sticks and Pringles sour cream and chives, I started to sob. A better man than I would have helped her wipe her mouth, but it was all I could do not to look away. So, as much as I wept for her, I wept for myself, for my own stingy, fearful heart, which, even though it knows better, all too often fails to muster the terrible effort of spirit and will it takes to look any of life square in the eye. And now, here I was all over again, blinking around the emergency room floor, not wanting any part of the uneasy duty in front of me. Not just a matter of bringing my mother the bedpan, but it will be necessary to help position it under her as well, and retrieve and empty the thing when she's done. And yet, in the very next instant, unready and unwilling though I may be, I discover that it is not something I am unable to do. And, once the job is done, the physical act of having done it has the unexpected effect of putting me closer to my mother somehow, of making a more human thing of her to me than ever before. I'm able to sit with her and not only wait with her in peace, but without once looking away.
Lee Stringer's forthcoming memoir is called Sleepaway School. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.